Welcome, one and all, to another week here at the Damage Report with me, John Derulla, in studio. I mean, you know, whatever that's worth, there's not many people here. We are the survivors. We are carrying on. Edwin's right over there, everyone. I'm with my coworkers again, and it feels great. One of those coworkers actually joins me right now on the show, Francesca Fiorentini, host of the Bituation Room. How's it going?
Good. I'm a coworker now? Oh, okay.
I mean, a colleague, a buddy.
buddy, old pal. What's going on? Happy Monday. Yay. Monday. You're in a suit. Nothing could be wrong. No,
I'm in a jacket. That's literally the only part of the suit that I have on. I'm
Is that because we're talking about George Santos? This is very...
We're not talking about... For once, we're not talking about George Santos. Why? Did he get expelled? Are we missing breaking news?
Why am I here? Why am I here?
I don't know. Every week I think about that and I haven't yet come up with... Anyway, so you're here because we have to talk about Argentina, obviously. I figured that would be in your bailiwick and your, you know, whatever. So we're going to be talking about that. Some dramatic election results there. We're going to talk about the end of donuts. Thanks to Joe Biden, will there even be donuts anymore? No. We're going to speculate about that. Elon Musk is threatening lawsuits. He's doing lawsuits against journalists, but he also wants to throw them in jail, basically. Free speech absolutist Elon Musk wants to throw journalists in jail for letting people know the things that he publicly posts to his more than 100 million followers. So that's fun. And that's just in the beginning of the show. We got so much stuff we're going to be talking about. Gavin Newsom's attack on Ron DeSantis is going to be really fun. And for the first and probably only time, so it's very lucky that you're listening, Francesca and I on the show are going to be talking about a topic related to parenting. It'll never happen again. Just this one time. We've got an interesting one that's coming up in the aftermath, everybody. So I know some of you are thinking, but I'm listening to the podcast, man. I don't get the aftermath. Yeah, but you can. You can go to our YouTube channel and the clips are posted there. And to everyone actually watching live, thank you for being here. Please hit the like button if you haven't already. You can send us comments, tweets, super chats, not only for funsies, we'll read them live on the show, but you might get yourself a $100 Blue Apron gift card. How fun is that? And with all that said, Francesca, are you ready to jump into this stuff?
Sorry, yes.
Some of it's going to be fun. I promise.
Sure.
Let's begin.
Zurdos, hijos de puta, tiemblen. La libertad avanza. Viva la libertad, carajo.
That is the now elected new president of Argentina. And I would have said several years ago, acting very unlike a president in this hemisphere, but now, no, kind of in line with some of our recent presidents, honestly. That's Javier Milei, got 55.7% of the vote, a large win, you know, in a very divisive election. And we are already starting to get an idea of what this could mean for Argentina. What are the new policies going to be? Well, Milei has said that he's going to slash government spending, take a chainsaw to it is the terminology that he likes to use. And in fact, up until the last run of the election, he would carry a chainsaw around. He would dollarize the economy, so effectively eliminating the Central Bank of Argentina and instead just going with the dollar, meaning that the U.S. Federal Reserve would set monetary policy for Argentina, which is a path forward, I suppose. He would also cut key ministries, including those of health and education. He's an admirer of Donald Trump. Why not? Has likewise presented himself as a crusader against the sinister creep of global socialism with plans to purge the government of corrupt establishment politicians. Describes himself as an anarcho-libertarian, which means incredibly suspicious of government power and wants to dial back government power. Unless using government power lets you attack the groups in society that you don't like and restrict their freedoms and then, you know, flame on, get the government all up in that. Isn't that weird how that works? Anyway, I want to give you a little bit more of an idea of some of the new president's thoughts. Here he is talking with Tucker Carlson.
Una de las ideas fundamentales es defender el derecho a la vida. O sea, filosóficamente estoy a favor de respetar el derecho a la vida. Después hay una justificación desde el plano de vista de las ciencias naturales, digamos, que es el hecho de que la vida comienza en el momento de la fecundación. Y en ese mismo momento se genera un nuevo ser en evolución, ¿sí? Con un ADN distinto. Es decir, es cierto que la mujer tiene derecho sobre su cuerpo, pero ese niño dentro del vientre no es su cuerpo. Es decir, el niño no es su cuerpo. Por lo tanto, el aborto es un asesinato agravado por el vínculo.
Okay, so that is Milei, who is a political pundit as well as an economist. That's his actual training, presenting himself there as some sort of moral philosopher, I suppose. You see, the woman has the right to her own body, but obviously the child is not her body, so she doesn't have a right to cause something that you do to result in the death of the fetus would obviously be murder. Of course, we can play philosophical games about that, hypotheticals of, you know, what if, you know, you woke up in the hospital and someone was connected to your body and removing them would kill them. Do you have a moral obligation to stay there for 9 months? Look, we can play these games. We're not going to. We don't need to, because he's not actually a philosopher. He's a guy who doesn't like the idea of bodily autonomy. That's all it is. I am sure that the right, super happy about this in particular, they'll pretend that they understand his economic policies. They don't, but they like the idea that he is against reproductive freedoms. He's against a lot of other stuff we're going to get into. But Francesca, what do you think about this new path for Argentina?
I mean, I don't know where to start, John. I lived in Argentina for 5 years. I will be talking about this on my show, The Bituation Room, in more detail. We'll have people from Buenos Aires, from Argentina itself, excuse me. But look, this is what happens and is happening around the world. So Argentina is basically on trend for, you know, demagogues and libertarians and people who want to hollow out the government, as you hear him say. I mean, he's very a Bannonite ultimately. So it makes sense. Here's the problem. When you have a global South country like Argentina that already has a very tenuous economy, if inflation is through the roof, and then you destroy everything about that economy and that government, you are effed. You will plunge everyone into a more extreme poverty. That it's not like when the Fed raises interest rates in the United States and it's like a little here, a little there, harder to borrow. Ultimately, the United States is a hegemonic economic country. When you're Argentina, no. Those are decades. Decades. Yeah. And I would argue what's happening now is the legacy of a military junta that took out IMF loans back in the 80s and 90s, right? So like, trust me when I say that when you flirt with a demagogue like Bannonite in the global South, in a country that doesn't have that much, you know, money to begin with, the ramifications are going to be massive. However, I do believe here's what Argentina has that we don't: incredible social movements, and they will rise up and they will absolutely boot this idiot from power. Mark my words.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish that could have been more of a preemptive thing. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, look, I want to get to the climate change stuff too, because it's so funny how like this is being presented as like he's like an independent thinker or whatever, and yet we can predict every one of his positions on non-economic. Why is that? Why should we be able to do that? Anyway, we can. So why don't we get into his thoughts on climate change?
Do you see the climate change movement as part of the same socialist agenda?
Sí, es parte de la agenda socialista. Entonces, por ejemplo, la lucha entre negros y blancos, o sea, Black Lives Matter, todo, digamos, el lobby LGBT, todo lo que tiene que ver con el feminismo radical, porque hay que recordar que el feminismo como causa original es una causa liberal. El primero que impulsó esto fue Jeremy Bentham a mediados del siglo XVIII. Como parte de esa agenda, también está la agenda del hombre contra la naturaleza, donde el hombre es el que daña a la naturaleza, cuando en realidad el mundo ha tenido otros picos de altas temperaturas como tiene ahora. Es un comportamiento cíclico.
Yeah, so he's a background as an economist, and that does not mean that he has any position to be speaking about climate change. Climate change, the process of which he clearly doesn't understand at all. What he delivered to you, he like took little pauses. He's wearing a suit or whatever, and now he's technically going to be a president. So you might think that you have to like have respect for it. That was a Twitter comment. That's all that was. No, we don't have to worry about climate change. There's been spikes before. I saw on a forum that there was spikes before. So it's this And like he tries to ground it in like, oh no, I'm going to talk about philosophers from like the 18th century. It's this idea of supposedly man versus nature. That's the agenda. No, the agenda is that carbon and heat and consequence. That's the agenda. The agenda is it's a scientific process that has been well mapped and established for literally decades. The consequences of which are not hypothetical. We're living them every single day. But again, he's not a thinker. We know all of his positions. Like you in the audience, you don't know what I'm going to say, but what would you guess his position on gun ownership is? You already know the answer to all of these questions. These are people who are produced in a factory and then foisted on us with entirely predictable value and policy systems designed to accomplish, regardless of country, the exact same goal, which decreasing spending that would affect people who are not already incredibly wealthy. Isn't it weird that in all cases, when you take a chainsaw to the economy and you start cutting out massive sections of it, that never hurts the rich? Isn't it weird? It always just ends up hurting the people who are already suffering under the status quo.
And again, when you hear it come out of the mouth of someone who's in Latin America, remember that that person is already only looking to the United States because he's using the same culture war talking points that Americans use. Black Lives Matter? Argentina doesn't have a Black Lives Matter movement. What are you talking about? Like, he's taking the sort of Moms of Liberty. It's basically like the heel of, like a little portion of Florida and Javier Milei, who like visits Miami every year and like go shopping. Like, that's who's in charge of a country, of this country now. It is wild. And the other things that he's said is that I won't do business with China and I won't do business with Russia. Well, guess effing what? That is who supports the Argentine economy. They don't have trading partners if it's not China and Russia. China is a massive buyer. So when you're a pure ideologue, like, and we're gonna get to it, yeah, all the right wingers who are celebrating right now, Go visit Argentina in 5 years and tell me how many children ask you for food and money, how many families you see digging through the trash, the shanty towns that are only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But they're all up here. It's all ideology to them. It doesn't actually matter in substance. He will tank and destroy the economy. And it is also neoliberals' fault for not doing enough to pull Argentina back from the brink that arguably the right got them into in the first place. We have our own problems with neoliberals in this country. Hello, Joe Biden.
Yeah. I think the people in the shanty towns, the only thing that has stopped them from rising up from that is the minimal amount of help that they might have been getting from the government prior to that. I think that once you take that away,
sure.
Bootstraps.
Oh, prosperity. Oh my God. So much prosperity.
Yeah. No, it's absurd. Hey, what do you know? Argentina is going to be really hurt by climate change, by the way, which I'm sorry if that's what I'm focusing on. It's where my brain goes. But without urgent action, G20 Climate Risk Atlas says that Argentina will see a 65% increase in the frequency of agricultural drought by 2050, which we throw out dates like that. That is no longer that far in the future. And I don't even know what this means, because of the numbers, but heat waves will last more than 6,247% longer. I literally checked that again just to make sure. That's what it says. Doesn't sound good. And of course, there's economic ramifications of literally all of that. Estimates by 2100 of losing about 8% of GDP. But again, the cool thing about this philosophy is you deny climate change so that you don't have to do anything about it. And you doing anything about it means regulations on industry, perhaps raising taxes to fight against it, stuff that the rich doesn't want to happen. And then it happens and it's really bad and it causes social chaos. It causes economic chaos. And then you take that chaos and you fearmonger around that. Yeah. And, you know, maybe they won't be talking about trans high school swimmers 30 years from now. Maybe they'll be talking about something related to the chaos caused by the climate change that they enthusiastically yeeted us towards. So it's fun. It's fun that they're taking over more and more countries. I'm being sarcastic there. A number of right-wing figures here in the United States enthusiastically greeted the Argentinian presidential election results. Donald Trump says congratulations to Javier Milei on a great race for president of Argentina. The whole world was watching. I'm very proud of you. You will turn your country around and truly make Argentina great again. Ooh. And that means a lot because he definitely knew who that person was. And he could name three facts about Argentina.
Yes, he could.
And when he says make it great again, he thought about that for even a second. That's why that's a meaningful statement from the former and perhaps future president of the United States. It's not just an empty thing where he heard the dude's a right winger and doesn't believe in climate change. It's substantive. And equally substantive for the rest of them. So Ben Shapiro, who doesn't give a damn if Argentina fell into the ocean, says awesome news. And if it goes poorly, like if this economic philosophy, the destruction of sections of the government goes poorly for Argentina, then he'll admit it, Ben Shapiro.
Yes,
he's intellectually honest and he cares about the Argentinian people. And then look, we could go on to the background with Swami, blah, blah, blah. And I just wanted to get to Elon Musk replying to End Wokeness, saying prosperity is ahead for Argentina. And to that, I just want to say to all you people who said a year or two ago, Elon Musk is right wing. You can't say what his politics are. We don't know. He's an independent, maybe left wing, maybe right wing. It's impossible to say what he's just super enthusiastic about a right wing anarcho-libertarian taking over Argentina and promising to restrict reproductive rights, end the fight against climate change, flood the streets with guns while destroying the government's capacity to help anyone other than the 1%. But other than that, we have no idea what his politics are.
Save these tweets. Save them. Go there, Elon. Oh my God. And you know what? He's going to go there and be like, God, it's really expensive. Why is it so expensive in this country? I just wanted to go to get like a, you know, a cheap steak because they dollarize their effing economy. But this is the thing. These are capitalists who also have taken advantage like vultures of countries like Argentina who have tanked their economy time after time after time. And then these vultures swoop in, they buy the debt for pennies on the dollar. Hello, Paul Singer, who's buddy buddy with our Supreme Court justices. And then they privatize more and more. It leads to no prosperity. And then when everything goes into the, you know, the toilet, all those vultures, they lift up and they fly away. And again, the people of Argentina are left to suffer. And lastly, only thing I'm going to say about climate change, it's very interesting in Argentina because what happens is that arid lands, flooded lands means more and more concentration of wealth in terms of farmland. Argentina is massively rural. There's a lot of incredibly rich farmland. And what happens? People get displaced from that land and they move where? They move to cities and become what? Part of the urban poor, part of shanty towns, right? And so part of real climate change in Argentina and stopping it is about economic justice as well as it is across the world. So I just want to put that out there.
That is a great point. And that's why I'm so glad that the us reacting, the results of this came on a day that you're on, that you can bring not only your expertise, but also your personal experience living there. I'm joking about how little they know prior to this. I want to be super clear if it's already clear. I know effectively nothing about Argentina. Little sprinkling of historic and economic facts. That's about it. I at least was in graduate school for poli sci, and I did study a number of other countries as part of both non-Western politics and international relations. But that was not, the region isn't my expertise. The country isn't. The difference is that Ben Shapiro will pretend that he either knows anything or cares at all. And all of them will do that. But
John, I have to say one thing. One last thing is that I have to say that all that anyone needs to know about Argentina economically is that it was the poster child for how the ideology of people like Ben Shapiro of privatizing everything, how that works. And it always works and it always works. And then in 2003, there was a massive crash. 2001, 2003, I'm forgetting. 2001. Yeah, massive crash. The economy went to crap and it was proof. Our little poster child that we thought was so good when you privatize even the roads, the water, everything, that it'll distribute, you know, prosperity for all. That did not bear out. So Argentina, if anything, is proof that neoliberal economics, that free trade fails the people. That's all you need to know about Argentina. They went through six presidents in a week, right? So like we are not far out from that, but I guess, hey, you know, let's try this psycho Wolverine, libertarian Wolverine on for size.
I despise the concept, the idea, the very idea that we should learn from the past. It's so stupid of you to ask us to do. Why would we do that? I said sarcastically, while knowing deep in my gut that we never have and never will. Tax cuts for the rich have never worked in America. You know when we're gonna get those? Every single time a Republican wins for the presidency for the rest of time. If Trump wins, they're gonna do more. It doesn't matter that it doesn't work. Like you said, save the tweets. No, like sure, save the tweets. will feel good.
Right.
The audience will feel good. It won't matter. Elon Musk tweeted like in the beginning of the pandemic that by April there'd be zero cases. It doesn't matter how verifiably moronic he is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. How did Brexit go? Because, you know, before it, people were saying, I don't know. It seems like kind of a bad idea. These promises you're making probably won't come true. They didn't. It was terrible. No one will learn. Literally no one. Learning is not allowed. And now it's come to Argentina. So see what happens. He's making big promises. Doesn't mean necessarily that he can get all of this done. But we will see. We will see. And with that said, we do need to take a break. We're going to do a little bit of a palate cleanser on the other side, though. Donald Trump is very worried about the economic impact of something as well. But in this case, it's his access to munchkins. We'll give you that and more after this. Lumber Lady says, John's sitting here thinking I need a vacation. Yeah, I think it's time. I think I've been back long enough.
I mean, if you need to go to Argentina, go now. Just go now.
I would really like to. I'll work on it. Anyway, we got to get back into news. If you're just joining us now, please hit the like button. And we're going to have a little bit of fun by talking about this. Trump has taken a break from trying to convince you that windmills are going to give you cancer or something to fear mongering about the future of donuts. Take a look.
Almost everything involves energy. If you make donuts, if you make anything you make has to do. And when they ended our energy, we were energy independent. Think of this. We're energy independent. We were soon going to be energy dominant. We would have been bigger than Saudi Arabia and Russia combined. Inflation started with energy. It's not that complicated. When you have a donut shop or a food shop or a dress shop, you need heat, you need whatever, you need everything, you need trucks to deliver your product. Energy is so big, so important.
We didn't have inflation. We knew how to take care of inflation, you know. Look, inflation was caused because they stopped drilling, they stopped the energy, and that caused the inflation. Energy is so big. If you make donuts, if you make cake, if you're a lawyer, if you're an accountant, you're heating and you're trucking, and no matter what you do, energy is so big.
Okay, first of all, we had inflation during the Trump years. There's always been inflation. It's so ridiculous. But you need examples. When you're talking about your policies or just talking about ideologically your opposition to Joe Biden's agenda or something. I get that. Where did the donut stuff come from? Is that like, you know, no offense to donut shops. It's part of the economy. I love Dunkin' or whatever, Krispy Kreme. But it seems weird that he keeps going back to that. That said, the donut stuff, I think, is a bit of a distraction from what you should truly be concerned about in those statements. And I will break that down in a second. But Francesca, first, what do you make of his new defense of the donut?
I mean, clearly he's just been hungry. Like he's on some new diet and is like, what I can't have is a donut. So like, that's just, you know, when you can't have or eat something, it just comes to mind. That's all that's happening. He was sitting there, you know, like energy, which is needed for producing donuts or cakes or gluten because I am intolerant now, like, but I can't say that because it sounds, you know, like one of the letters on the LGBTQ plus acronym. And so like what, like why you can't think of anything else that energy is needed for? Just industry generally. Look at anything in the room, you idiot. But I do have thoughts on what he should actually be concerned about. Maybe you're going there, so I don't want to preempt it. But yeah, very strange.
And I'm just going to quickly throw out, you know what took me way too long into life to realize? And again, apologies to Chris Grew and donuts. Donuts aren't worth it. They're not. Like, if you're going to eat something that's unhealthy. No, they're just, they're not that great.
Hard disagree.
They're not good enough. Get something better. Get yourself some ice cream. It's available. And you know what? To make ice cream takes energy.
Disagree on that. Okay. I don't know if I can continue to be on the show, but please.
Here's the thing. The substance of what he's talking about is energy and energy independence. And supposedly now we're not. What has Biden done that has stopped us from being energy independent? It's nonsense. He just throws it out there. There's no evidence. But the other thing is his attacks against Joe Biden rely on the fact that Joe Biden is too old, too mentally incompetent to do this thing. But I want to take a look at the glass house that is throwing stones, because here are the quotes you just heard. When you have a donut shop or a food shop or a dress shop, you need you need whatever, you need everything, you need trucks to deliver your product. Energy is so big, so important. If you make donuts, anything you make has to do. And when they ended our energy, we were energy independent. Think of this. So big. It's like all encompassing. Everything. You make donuts in the oven and the trucks to deliver them. No matter what you do, it's so much about energy. Has his brain been replaced with Boston cream?
His brain is leaking out of his skull, people. You guys, we need to call off this election. Like, I don't care about any of the lawsuits. Like, please, somebody, like, stop this man. Like, clearly, all that's happening in his brain when he thinks of industry is one of those old-timey 30s cartoons where, like, the very first Mickey Mouse is, like, making a bunch of donuts, like, like, he's regressing. What the hell is happening? Why do we have the oldest man running for president?
Yeah, I understand. Some people are going to say, no, John, man, you just been out for 3 months. You don't remember.
No.
Trump was always like, yes, no, Trump was always like that. But that is particularly bad. This isn't like he has these tics. Like when he wants to prove something, he just says it's like no one's ever seen because I can't provide any more detail. This isn't him falling back on tics. This is him stumbling to make a vague dumb point. He can't even do that anymore. Anyway, there's no evidence to support the claim that making donuts requires any special level of fossil fuel supply. The energy required to make donuts can come from renewable energy too. It's just so stupid. By the way, the idea that the donut industry is going to be destroyed by these new regulations that he's not even citing is not true. The $7 billion American donut industry, my God, is $7 billion, is projected to grow another $3 billion by 2027. Reminder to self to invest in Krispy Kreme. Good Lord. So anyway, it's not true. Like, and it's a reminder that we talked about the Argentinian election in the previous segment. And he's bad on all that stuff having to do with economics as well as, like, you know, like social policy and stuff like that. But he's also fully willing to just fundamentally lie about what's going on. And all of that is gobbled up like a donut by a significant portion of the American electorate. So again, reminder, we're in an election. He very well could win it and it's consequential.
I mean, the last thing I'll say, I was going to say about this is just like, we should be concerned about chocolate, right? Like donuts, whatever. But like in terms of energy, in terms of actually needing transition away from fossil fuels, in terms of climate change, like chocolate's going to be at risk, right? They like climate change is literally canceling. And I know we're not necessarily talking about that, but climate change is canceling food that we like. If there was a way to package that for the far right, but of course, they'll blame trans athletes for the lack of chocolate in the future. But can we understand that everything we enjoy in life, and a lot of that is food, and yeah, chocolate goes in and on donuts, that is at risk if we don't actually change our energy production.
Yeah, 100%. I'll close with this. We had done, at one point, we did a roundup of all of the things that climate change is set to basically make either too expensive or impossible. If Michael Bloomberg had tried to ban all of the things we won't be able to have because of climate change, Fox and Friends would literally never talk about anything else. Yes. But when it's a natural consequence of the policies that they are advocating for, suddenly it's not even worthy of conversation. Anyway, we have to turn from one buffoon to another. We go into every weekend, of course, not knowing what horrors will await us on the other side, but they always show up and they deliver our Monday menace. Elon Musk, he spent the time drafting I guess like a brief to accompany a lawsuit against the website Media Matters. He tweeted, "The split second court opens on Monday, X Corp will be filing a thermonuclear lawsuit against Media Matters and all those who colluded in this fraudulent attack on our company." To be clear, you don't have to wait until the court actually opens. You can digitally file before that. He has 1,000 lawyers. How does he not know that? I also, this is a small thing. I just find it to be funny. Can we bring up that graphic once again? It's just the weirdest little thing. Because like he's promising to sue a journalistic organization for criticizing him or for even just publicizing what he says. And he's the richest man in the world with a massive staff that can help him. That is a screenshot of a Word doc that he is typing up at that point. And I know that because the cursor is still visible after speech. What a weird, weird man he is. But anyway, the idea is that Media Matters, which we actually did it last week. We talked about the results of their study showing that ads had been placed next to anti-Semitic, basically Nazi content. He's saying they lied. It's a scam. And it's such a lie that they should be sued for that. And not just civilly, by the way. He wants criminal investigations of Media Matters for publicizing the fact that ads were posted next to Nazi content. And I know that because he replied to Stephen Miller, who said fraud is both a civil and criminal violation. Elon Musk said, interesting, both civil and criminal, dot, dot, dot. To which a right-wing attorney general says, my team is looking into this matter. The attorney general's team is looking into the fact that Media Matters ran an article detailing how extremist content had ads served on it that nobody involved in the story disputes the facts of. Elon Musk in that says, yes, Nazi content had ads placed next. It wasn't much. It wasn't a lot compared to all of the tweets. Yeah, but it was there. Like, and they just said that it was there. And so he is enraged by this and he wants to destroy Media Matters. And of course, the right wing is going to be perfectly in favor of this, despite pretending to be anti-elitist, anti-status quo, anti-establishment. They're in favor of the richest man in the world who single-handedly owns a social media site, destroying an outlet that tries to hold the wealthy and rich accountable. What are your thoughts?
Elon Musk is just going to do what everyone who is losing, who has lost the argument, who's a failure, continues to do despite all of the advice, which is to tweet through it. Mm-hmm. And my dude, my guy, stop. Don't tweet through it. Just stop. Because he is hemorrhaging advertisers. And so he's going to pick a fight with Media Matters that points out why he's hemorrhaging advertisers, specifically actions that he's taken, tweets he's put out there, but also the fact that, like, guys, you can't put a tweet out there. And honestly, let's talk about anti-Semitism. If you're Jewish, like, you can't tweet without like five different people replying to you going like, oh, you're Jewish. And you're like, I know. What? Like, it's really, really disgusting. I mean, more so than it always was. But it's like, no, my dude's just going to keep going. He's going to try and sue people and point fingers and blame everyone but himself.
Yeah, 100%. And I want to run through, like, this is all a dodge from the real concern. He is pretending that Media Matters should be the star of the story because he doesn't want to be for once. And by the way, you mentioned him tweeting through it. You may not know this, but I sometimes have to go and find tweets that people have sent to put on the show so that you can see them. Do you have any idea how hard it is to find a thing that Elon Musk tweeted? Because he tweets every 2 seconds. One day of his tweets took me 20 minutes to scroll through.
Sure.
He's the CEO of 6 companies. He's tweeting right now. He never stops. I would love to see someone take a timeline and just post all of the times he tweets. Anyway, look, he's angry, as you said, because he's hemorrhaging advertisers on Twitter. And so Disney, Apple, IBM, Lionsgate, a number of different companies are pulling their advertising. That's like people are pointing that out now, but they've had advertising issues since he took over for a lot of different reasons. And they're pretending that it's Media Matters' fault. And they're pretending that Media Matters lied, but they're not even really showing it. This guy, who is apparently an executive at Twitter, says that the way they did this was they created accounts and followed accounts and then refreshed the timeline more than most people do. And that's how it's a fraud. You're showing that they did it and it happened. You might say it's not perfectly representative, but you're saying they didn't lie. It actually happened. And the bigger issue for them is that this has nothing to do with the advertisers fleeing, or at the very least, there are a million other reasons that they might flee. Media Matters also showed how content with white nationalist hashtags gets ads placed next to it. Other people completely unrelated to this are showing how there's literally ads being placed for non-consensual deep fake AI porn generation.
Holy crap.
This is not new. The website has become a den of anti-Semitism, homophobia, transphobia, hatred, and the place is rotting from the head down. You don't need to refresh your feed 50 times to know what this site is like. All you need to do is follow Elon Musk, who notably, before the Media Matters thing, did his "you have said the actual truth" thing, where he claimed that Jewish people are trying to flood America with minorities to replace the population. At a certain point, perhaps Disney and Lionsgate don't care so much about the ad place, but they care about the fact that the guy who represents the entire brand is an obvious raging anti-Semite and conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. And if you need another demonstration of that, by the way, I want to go to this. So we will go to graphic 11. The Libs of TikTok woman decided to, and this is just viciously cruel and disgusting, dead named Ari Drennan, who I believe has been on the Damage Report. Ari is trans, and that somehow is like a revelation of these people and also proof of why you shouldn't trust anything they write. Says your reminder that Ari Drennan is a man who just pretends to be a woman. She's one of the most disgusting humans in America. And said advertisers are taking their orders from a mentally ill man who dresses up as a woman.
Christ.
All Ari did is show what is on the site. And to that, Elon Musk says, wow. Not wow, like you or I might, like, wow, what the hell is wrong with you? Wow, as in, yeah, you shouldn't listen to anything this journalist says because the journalist is trans and that by itself means they're untrustworthy. I don't know. Maybe this has something to do with why brands don't want to advertise on Elon Musk's playpen.
Yeah, I'm waiting for us to go. Like, John, you've already left and gone to other platforms. And yeah, like, honestly, Zuckerberg looking totally A-OK after all this. It's so clear what this is. And I just, you think about these grifters and you're like, how much hate do you have? Like, do you need a hug, Chaya? I'll give you a hug and a makeover, girl, because my God, stop. Just because, are you mad? Because actually, Ari Drennan is cute AF. Like, come on now. Come on. You piss? You jealous? Live your truth. Get a hug. Move on with your life. And everyone really should move off of this platform.
Yeah, this free speech platform, by the way. Reminder, free speech. Also reminder, the entire point of posting that is to try to destroy Ari Drennan. At the very least, to drive Ari off of Twitter. Because I cannot even imagine how many vicious death threats and threats of rape and God only knows what else. Doxing, perhaps people showing up. That's what this is designed to do. Now, Ari is incredibly strong from having experienced this for a very long time. When you actually challenge the powerful, you get attacked. So Ari posted, thank you to Chaya and Elon Musk for sending so many new followers my way today. But it's got to be difficult, the toxicity that must be flowing Ari's way. But what else do you expect from Elon Musk, a guy who has tried to cover for his comments about being pro-free speech by at all turns trying to nuke from orbit anyone who challenges entrenched power and wealth? Over the weekend, Taylor Swift, who is, of course, in the middle of a massive worldwide concert tour, decided to postpone one of her shows in Rio de Janeiro after a 23-year-old fan of hers tragically passed during the performance. Ana Clara Benavides Machado died during the Friday night show. And every detail that I read after that makes it even more tragic. The statements from friends and family of Ana, but the fact that she had taken her first flight ever to travel there to see Taylor Swift, who was her favorite musician. She created a WhatsApp group to keep her family updated, sending photos and videos of her journey. It's just an absolute tragedy. And, you know, I'm sure that Taylor Swift must be devastated that this happened at one of her shows. So she had posted this on Instagram saying, I'm writing this from my dressing room in the stadium. The decision has been made to postpone tonight's show due to the extreme temperature in Rio. The safety and well-being of my fans, fellow performers and crew has to and always will come first. And so here's the personal tragedy. And then there is the quest for answers. Did this have to happen? Why did this happen? And there are allegations flowing around that an investigation needs to look into, but allegations that people were not allowed to bring their own water into the concert hall. Now, there are counter allegations saying that Anna and her group had been given some water, but it's still incredibly hot. And we don't know what accommodations were being made for. Every year is hotter than the year before. Are our policies keeping pace with the effect that we're having on our planet? And could that have potentially influenced this? So that is absolutely devastating on an individual level. In a second, we're going to zoom out and talk about how this is playing out on a much wider scale. But Francesca, I'm not sure if you'd seen that news, but it's devastating to think that someone would die during such a great experience that they were supposed to be having.
Yeah, I did see the news, and I also didn't know, however, that Taylor Swift stopped the show. And I understand that to some that might seem like a no-brainer. I don't think it is actually a no-brainer that you would stop your show. I mean, this is a massive stadium. These are tens of thousands of people. And, you know, if some person, you know, has to be often might be taken to, like, you know, the medic because they are like, it's a massive crowd. There's a swell. They faint. It happens, right? In concerts all the time. But the fact that she stopped it, I mean, look, I'm not a Swiftie, but I'm starting to become a little bit of a Swiftie because, like, as she, Taylor continues to do stuff that you're like, you know, not every like massively famous celebrity would necessarily do that. That's number one. But number two is, yeah, man. I mean, we talk about it in this country, like, you know, when it comes to Ticketmaster and the way that venues are super greedy, but not giving people water affordably, or not allowing them sort of safe passage to get water. And for sure, if you're in the front there, yeah, you should be given a lot of water, like, because you can't really leave to go get water. Like, that's just something. And it's like, yeah, man, if they're going to charge you $12 a bottle, they will. If they can, they will. If they can not give you safe passage, they will. Like, and again, these are greedy ass venues, and it's around the world that they behave like this. I mean, the other thing is, like, flying gets you incredibly dehydrated, and she would flown for the first time. Like, who knows? Yeah. She must have been super excited. Like, it sucks. It's awful.
Yeah, just look, even absent our increasingly hot world, like, again, these are allegations. I don't know for sure. We will see. But if they are stopping it, and if they are, the reason you would do that is because you want to make money off of it by jacking up the price. Like, how does it not seem inevitable that with a population that large, that would have these sorts of consequences? Again, absolutely devastating, but this is a case study inside of a world in which we can expect to see a lot more of this, because the world is getting hotter and our infrastructure is not set up to accommodate that. And the infrastructure can be as specific as your water policies at a massive stadium. And, you know, this is not a one in a million thing. Like, there are many events like this happening constantly throughout the year in the hottest periods, not just in Rio de Janeiro, in the United States as well. But it also goes all the way up to how our literal infrastructure is not set up for this. The roads, the buildings are not set up to keep people safe. People at concerts, people working. We saw people in the summer in southern United States dropping in the streets. And when they'd hit the street, second degree burns from how hot it is. That is the world that we have created. Is it not the world that we're looking to 2075 for? We're there right now. 2075 is going to be worse, trust me, but what we're in right now is not acceptable. And so something needs to be done. And I just wanted to let people know that when trying to take stock of responsibility, because I instantly thought of, like, how responsible would I feel as Taylor Swift for this? And I came to the conclusion, not at all. It just isn't down on you. But in the larger sense, who is responsible for this? Well, you're not that responsible for the heating of the globe, but there are some individuals who are. The richest 1% of humanity is responsible for more carbon emissions than the poorest 66%.
Jesus.
This is just 77 million people that make up billionaires, millionaires, and those paid more than $140,000 US a year accounted for 16% of all CO2 emissions in 2019, enough to cause more than an estimated million excess deaths due to heat. And here's the weird way that the world works. I bet hearing the million figure naturally affects you less than hearing about Anna's tragic death. That one tragic death from heat, well, there's a million a year off of that, and it is only getting worse. So bear that in mind. Francesca, what do you think?
Yeah, just imagine all of those people were at a Taylor Swift concert, and they was their first time seeing Taylor Swift. And then maybe we can start to have more empathy for this incredible problem. And yeah, look, I mean, Taylor's part of the 1%, let's be real. I'm imagining. So
I think quite thoroughly, yeah.
So yeah, I'd be interested in seeing, I think she and other celebrities could potentially have like lead in terms of like, not offset, but like, you know, actually reversing course on the damage that they do, even by their like, you know, private jets and their massive tours.
100%. By the way, really fast, if we go to graphic three, you're gonna see a chart of the climate emissions of billionaires. Like, do you understand how much you'd have to zoom in to see us or you and the audience, our entire audience, and everyone that our audience knows, by the way, would not merit on there, but these individuals, those 12 people you saw on that list produce more greenhouse gas emissions than the annual energy emissions of 2 million homes. 12 people. So when someone tries to make you feel bad about the state of the environment, look, it is right to care. It is right to make certain changes to the extent that you can, but you don't do that because success or failure depends on you. That is not how it works. Larger structural changes are the only thing that's going to fix that. We can participate. We can be a part of it. I hope that we will. But these individuals, their individual actions do actually matter on that level, and you almost never hear about it. Anyway, apologies. We're running out of time in the hour, so why don't we jump right into the first video of our last story.
Wanted by order of Governor Ron DeSantis. Any woman who has an abortion after 6 weeks and any doctor who gives her care will be guilty of a felony. Abortion after 6 weeks will be punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Even though many women don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. That's not freedom. It's Ron DeSantis' Florida.
Campaign for Democracy PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
That ad called Wanted was put out by Gavin Newsom's team, obviously attacking Ron DeSantis. And the claim rests on the fact that back in April, Ron DeSantis signed the Heartbeat Protection Act, prohibiting abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. That very much is the Florida that Ron DeSantis wants. And if Ron DeSantis is successful in beating Donald Trump and becoming president, maybe the country that he wants. And so Gavin Newsom is trying to make sure that people understand the stakes. He tweeted alongside that any woman who has an abortion, I would say pregnancy, a person can get pregnant, but any woman who has an abortion after 6 weeks and any doctor gives her care will be guilty of a felony. Abortion after 6 weeks will be punishable by up to 5 years in prison. That's not freedom. That's Ron DeSantis's Florida. And it is weird, admittedly, Francesca, to have two governors from across the country sending ads each other's way, but they're going to be having a debate, actually. That's going to be happening on November 30th. Sean Hannity is going to be moderating it. And this ad, in addition to other places where it will be running on Sean Hannity's show. So not a bad move by Gavin Newsom. What do you make of it?
Oh God, that debate. I don't know. Gavin is annoying me, but yay, I guess go after Ron DeSantis. Beat him when he's down. DeSantis doesn't scare me. He's not going to be president this time. He's not going to be president ever. Yes, I said ever. You know, and I called it this time. I'm going to call it then. Newsom, on the other hand, possibly. Good on Newsom for actually having a debate with Sean Hannity. That is not a fair arbiter of pretty much anything. I don't know, John. At this point, I just wish Newsom would actually do a little bit more work on our President Biden and actually pulling him, especially out of this pig-headed war, and stop supporting war crimes in Gaza. But other than that, yay, I guess it's cool that he's doing this. Go off, King.
Yeah, look, look, to some extent, I think he wants to hurt Ron DeSantis. And, you know, I don't generally draw pleasure from seeing people be hurt, but if I have to watch someone be hurt, Ron DeSantis would be the guy. I love the fact that he looks so horrible in this race. But also, let's keep it real. This is Gavin Newsom just putting out there like, oh, you know, I'm not running for president, but if you needed one, maybe me, the guy who made Ron DeSantis look terrible. And I do have to say, he's not my kind of like Democrat or whatever, but being willing to debate with Sean Hannity being the moderator, that does take courage. He has to be pretty confident in himself. That said, Ron DeSantis is a horrendous debater, so I guess the bar is somewhat low.
It's but so low.
No, I will be looking forward to that. Oh, well, unfortunately, our hour does have to end. So we will talk more on the other side, but waiting to see this debate. Maybe we can do a show right after, but we'll see. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for the first hour. More to come in the aftermath. We'll be back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.